us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them? I ask in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Several churches in North Dakota were being served by a rather clever pastor. He was someone who was known for being able to give thanks in all circumstances, for all situations. And on this one particular Sunday in December, it was very cold and snowy outside, and he was late getting to church. And so when he finally arrived, he began the service with a prayer, and his congregation was kind of waiting to see how he could possibly find anything for which to give thanks on this cold and dreary and snowy day. And so he began his prayer by saying, "Gracious Lord, I thank thee that not all days are like today." Well, I kind of wish I was like that preacher, you know. I tend to be a yes but thanksgiver. You know what I mean? Yes but. Like, I'm thankful for the weather outside, Lord, but I wish it was warmer. Or I'm thankful that the men of valor had a great rummage sale that they helped out so much, but what about all that junk? I mean, all those treasures that are left over. You know, I'm thankful for my house, but how come there are so many things wrong with it? Or I'm thankful for my spiritual life, but how come I'm having such a struggle in certain areas? You know, I'm always kind of a yes but thanksgiver. And I wonder about you. What are you like? Do you tend to focus more on the things that are wrong or the things that you're not happy with rather than the blessings of life? In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is going to Jerusalem, and he passes through the border of Samaria and Galilee, and he comes across 10 men with leprosy. And in those days, if you had leprosy, you were segregated from the rest of the community. They had to announce that they were getting near anyone that didn't have the disease by saying, "unclean, unclean," or by wearing some sort of a bell or something like that that would allow people to know that they were coming so that they wouldn't get infected. And so these lepers had obviously heard about Jesus, or maybe they had seen him, maybe at a distance, maybe they had heard that he healed people. And so they cried out to him, "Master." And so they were coming to Jesus believing that he would heal them of their leprosy. They had great faith in Jesus Christ. We know that there were 9 of these lepers that were Jewish, and one was a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were not at all loved by the Jews. They viewed them as kind of half-breed, kind of mixed races, of mixed races and mixed religions. And so they kind of viewed these Samaritans as being unclean and impure. And so they had nothing to do with the Samaritans, if at all possible. And so these Samaritans were considered unclean and impure, and so this man with leprosy was kind of doubly impure and unclean. And so it's amazing how physical conditions can cause such differences not to seem so important. I think about a group called Alcoholics Anonymous that has people from all different ethnicities, all different social economic statuses, all different religions, meeting together, and they're joining together around a common foe, and that common foe, of course, is alcohol. Certainly, Jesus saw these lepers gathered together. They had to kind of stay together to help one another out. And so Jesus saw their faith, and then he went on to ask them to have even more faith. And he said to have faith by going and showing themselves to the priest. Now, the priest was the only one who could pronounce someone clean or unclean. And so they were to go to the priest, and if they were cured, they would be pronounced unclean. They could be incorporated back into the community. They were then allowed to be able to be a part of the community of faith again. And so these 10 set off for the priest, and they went with deep faith, and when they got there, they would be able to show him something. Can you imagine what would have happened if they had gotten there and nothing had transpired, nothing had happened to them? They were still filled with leprosy. They would have been the laughing stock of the community at that time. But they went on and they obeyed Jesus when he commanded them to go to the priest. And that meant that they really trusted him to heal them. Imagine if they went with a little bit of doubt, maybe, would they have been healed? But instead, these lepers traveled, and as they traveled, it says they were healed. Their faith was real. Their trust brought about this healing that they sought. Acting on faith many times brings results in a person's life. Imagine how they felt inside. They felt full of amazement. They felt like celebrating. Many of them probably were thinking what they were going to do with the rest of their lives now that they were no longer condemned with leprosy. They were going to be able to go back into the community. They were going to be able to relate with people again. They were going to be able to hug people and have them hugged in return. They were going to be able to touch and be touched by others. They were mapping out their whole lives in front of them. I suppose these lepers were kind of like someone who won the lottery, kind of thinking about how they were going to spend all of that money. And so these 10 did what Jesus asked in faith, and their healing came about. They couldn't wait to get to the priest to be proclaimed clean by him. I'm sure he wouldn't have believed his eyes knowing who these men were, and they ran to show him that they were clean. All but one of them, that is. And that one was the Samaritan. He looked at the ones dashing off to the priest, and he noticed that he too was healed. And so he turned around, he went back to the master. And it says that he was praising God as he came close to him. And then when he reached Jesus, he fell at his feet and began to thank Jesus for what he had done. I'm sure he was filled with such amazing gratitude, thanking him over and over again for what Jesus had done for him. 9 people were making new plans for their lives, going to show themselves to the priest. But one of them came back to thank Jesus. It was an immediate, spontaneous act of gratitude. Maybe obeying isn't enough. This reminds me of people who say that they don't need the church to worship. You've heard many comments like, I could be a good Christian by just leading a good life, or I believe in God and I lead a good life, so what do I need the church for? Or you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And of course, all these things are true to some degree. But isn't worship basically about giving thanks by acknowledging who God is and thanking him for what he has done? And don't you and I come here to praise God and to give thanks to him for the things that he's done in our lives and to worship him? That's what the hymns we sing are all about. That's what the Gloria we say, the Creed we say, the communion we celebrate. That's what it's all about. It's giving thanks to God. There are ways that we can obviously worship God other than this way. And certainly, you don't have to be in the part of a Christian community in order to thank God. But I think it's important for us to be together to worship. Worshiping is God has done best when we do it together with those who believe. Can you imagine going to a Dallas Cowboy game and sitting in the stadium and you're the only one in the stands? I mean, it might be hard to imagine that, but the way they're playing lately, it might not be so hard to imagine. But sitting in the stands, you're cheering for them. Go Cowboys! And you kind of look around, I'm the only one here, and it kind of feels a little strange, and really it doesn't quite have the impact of praising the team, cheering the team on by yourself. Imagine having a baby and having no one with whom to share that good news with. We need other people to worship and to give thanks well. The Samaritan came back to thank Jesus with a special expression of gratitude. It was a moving scene. One man makes a special effort to go back and to give thanks to Jesus. But Jesus said, where are the other 9? Wouldn't it have been more powerful, more effective for all 10 to be together to give thanks to Jesus? While we can understand the Samaritan wanting to give thanks for the miracle that was done in his life, I think it's just as important to give thanks for the small things in life, the small miracles, the small blessings that we have from God. Certainly, daily gratitude and weekly worship are critical, I believe, to our faith. We love it when our children give thanks to us for the things that we do. Nancy and I are blessed to have 2 daughters that are quick to give thanks when we do even the smallest things for them. We don't have to coax them into giving thanks. We don't have to say, by the way, aren't you going to say thank you? They're quick to give thanks for the blessings that they have. And that's a real blessing to us when they do give thanks to us for those sort of things. And God is the same way, I believe. God appreciates when we give thanks to Him. You might think about during this week, taking time throughout the day to thank God for the little things in your life for which you're thankful. And as you do so, you might be surprised at the blessings that you receive in return for doing that. St. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There was a pastor who lived in a leper colony, as they used to be called, for 18 years. And one day a man with leprosy came running in from the field, shouting, and he came to the pastor. He said, look, one of my fingers has fallen off. You may not realize this, but many people with leprosy don't have feeling, can't feel pain in a lot of areas of their body, and so they can't tell often when things are going wrong, and sometimes they actually do lose digits off of their fingers and off of their hands. And so that's what happened to this young man. He came running to the pastor, and the pastor looked at the leper and says, why are you getting so excited about this? And the leper replied, I'm excited because I still have four fingers left. And with those four fingers, I can continue to work in the fields. Was this person truly thankful for what he had? I think he was. He was not a yes but thanksgiver, but he was someone who was truly thankful for what he had. Friends, I want to ask you, how many fingers do you have? Are you thankful for your fingers? Are you thankful for the small blessings in life? Are you thankful for the things that God has given to you? Perhaps this week we can focus more on giving thanks to God throughout the day for the many blessings that we have, and not just giving thanks for the great things that God does for us, even though those are worthy of thanksgiving. For the things which you're thankful, we have an opportunity in the rest of this service to give thanks to God. And I hope you'll do that throughout this service and in the week to come. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for all the blessings of this life. We thank you for the things you provide for us. We thank you for the housing we have in our lives. We thank you for the food that we receive. We thank you for the friends and family that we have around us. We thank you for all the blessings of this life, but more especially, we thank you for the salvation that you've given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you have incorporated us into the family of God and that you've given us an opportunity to have a home in heaven. Lord, I pray for anyone here who may not yet have made that decision to follow Jesus Christ, that they would truly put their trust in Him and realize for how much they can be thankful for their forgiveness and for the grace that you've given to them. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings of this life, and Lord, help us to be truly grateful for the many things that you do for us and for who you are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.